Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about love of God, right? The agape love of God. This is a different level of love. Remember, there's four kinds of love. There's eros. Eros is the sexual love, the self-gratifying love. And that eros is not even mentioned in the Bible. And then there's philia, and that's mutual friendship, brotherly love. And that's a lot of what the love operates in the world, kind of. And then there's the storge, and that's family love. And that's the way a mother loves her children, and then the way we love in our family. But then there's agape love, and that's a higher level of love. That's the God kind of love. And that's the love that prays for, blesses its enemies, loves those who persecute you and despitefully. That's the love that God has called us to, that we're to be loving each other. This has to be developed. This is a supernatural love. This is not natural to love in this manner, this high level of love, this agape love. So it's supernatural. Remember, the word super means above. It's above the natural. So that's the love that God has called us to. This is the kingdom of God. When you are operating in this love, the enemy has no power in your life. It talks about in Colossians 1:12, we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, agape. See, delivered from the powers of darkness. In other words, authorities and powers of darkness have no power in your life when you're operating in the love of God. And that's why God is trying to keep us in that and develop that in us, because the enemy has no power in your life when you're walking in that love. You know, I have people come in my office and say, you know, well, I just don't love him anymore. You know, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. I fell out of love. You don't fall in and out of love in a marriage. Love is a choice. It's what you choose to do. I don't feel like paying my bills sometimes, but I do it. And I always feel better afterward. See, the feelings and emotions follow the choice and the action. That's really the way it is. And that's the way love is. When you choose to love, it always brings better things. That thing where I don't love them anymore, that's baloney. That's the Greek word for that scenario of falling in and out of love. You spell it B-L-O-G-N-I-A. Blagna. You know what it means? It means to be full of sulfates, citrates, bellyaches, and heartaches that will follow you the rest of your life if you don't learn to walk in the love of God. Are you with me? Baloney. Everybody say baloney. Now, that's just a little add to it, you know what I mean? But it really is baloney, because God is calling us to walk in His love. And we can do this. You know what? We learn too much from the world system and Hollywood and what Aunt Sue and Uncle Bob did, but we got to learn from what God says. He is love. We're talking about the attributes of God. An attribute, remember, is a tribute to where it came from. He doesn't just have love. He is love. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the love of God. Remember Romans 5 says we glory in tribulations. Remember what's tribulations? Trouble. So when trouble comes, we glory in that. Why? Because that is the word glory is what God originated and intended. So to bring out what God originated and intended your life to be, there has to be some trouble to get you to depend on God. You see that? And then that love starts to get developed in you, and now you're getting the truth on the matter, and you're becoming what you were really created to be. You can't do that without some trouble in your life. And it won't happen, because it's not natural to just go to God and say, change me. But when you love God, now you get into the supernatural, and then that begins to change you. We got to grow in this, because if we don't understand this, we're always going to be beating our head. But when we understand this, remember, we glory in tribulations. Tribulations does what? Produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance is the long haul. It takes time. Perseverance isn't waiting in line at Wendy's to get a hamburger. Perseverance could be a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, lifetime. Perseverance is a godly character. Perseverance produces what? Character. Nowhere else in the Bible do you find what produces character. The only thing that produces character is perseverance. Nothing else. That's why we got to understand this. Character produces what? Hope. And hope produces the appointment of God. Hope does not disappoint, because why? The Holy Spirit is poured out in your hearts by the love of God. The love of God has been poured out of your heart by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get every area of your life, love of God in your finances, love of God in your relationships, the love of God on the way you do your job, the love of God on the way you treat people, all these areas, he's trying to permeate your life with it. That's what the Holy Spirit is up to. It says the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you where? Into all truth. So that's what we're going to look at today. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 20. You know what? Listen, today you got to be on purpose to not get discouraged. You see, God told Joshua, sit down for a minute. God told Joshua, only be strong and what? Courageous. Two things, strong and courageous. And then he said, don't be dismayed or be afraid. So in other words, he doesn't want you to be afraid and he doesn't want you to be dismayed. That comes from discouragement. You, if you're discouraged, that's part of your doing. You see, we cannot get discouraged, because when you're discouraged, you stop the flow of God from flowing into your life. It's taking your courage. You're going to need courage to fulfill what God has called you to and created you for. And that's love. You see that? Perfect love casts out all fear. We live in a negative culture and environment that is constantly bombarding us with things that are trying to get us away from the love of God. That's why it says the love of God is growing cold. Why? Because iniquity and lawlessness is abounding. That's why the love of God is growing cold. And the growing cold is slowly growing cold. In other words, you got to be mindful wherever you are, because everything is trying to get you to be, oh, that's not such a big deal. I'll accept this, and oh, you know, I can go along. Folks, listen, when you love God, there's certain things you're not going to be a part of. You have to do this on purpose, because our environment affects you. Your environment affects you. And you know what? We're supposed to affect the environment wherever we go. This is something we got to be aware of, because if we're not, we just fall into it. Conversation, the negativity, you just fall right. You got to be so intentional and purposeful and love people on purpose, even the unlovable, right? Because some people it's hard to love. All right, go with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is the agape love. This love is broke down over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I like what the way this chapter starts out. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, agape, that's what that means, but have not agape love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. The clanging cymbal is very significant, because the clanging cymbal was in the Greek culture, is they would slam these cymbals together and it was the beginning of a war. And so the idea is, Paul was saying that in the church, they were bringing their own opinions in, and their opinions weren't from the Word of God and the love of God. And so he's saying, you're bringing contentions and strife and problems in the church, and it's a bunch of noise because it's not the love of God. And that's why he said that. So our opinion doesn't matter. We have to learn to love the way God has called us to and demonstrated in the Scripture. Am I making sense? Now, last week we looked at, in verse 5, we ended with love thinks no evil and love is not provoked. So now we're looking at in verse 6, Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices what? In the truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. What's iniquity? Iniquity is patterns in your life that keep you in sin. And Exodus 34:7 says, your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations. I used to think sin and iniquity were the same, but they're not. Iniquities are patterns that keep you in sin. So God says love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. So in other words, we got to break those patterns. Love breaks those patterns. Because I have a love for God's word, I'm replacing those patterns with God's word on the matter, and now I'm being set free. And that causes me to rejoice because I got the truth on the matter. But if you stay in that iniquity, it keeps you in sin. And sin separates you from God. For the wages of sin is death. Death means separation. Not lay down physical dead. Death means separation from God. But God is trying to get our lives connected to Him. And that's what the love of God does. It connects us with Him. Now, think about this. It rejoices in the truth. This word rejoice is the Greek word chairei. And this word is a derivative of the word chario, which is the word joy. And the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. Now, this rejoicing is the idea of being glad about something, someone who is euphoric over something, overjoyed, elated, ecstatic, exhilarated, thrilled, jubilant, hilarious over the truth. You know why? Because the truth sets us free. That's why you can get a revelation on something and really get it, and man, it just builds you up. You ever come here and you just leave, you just feel like, man, because you've got the truth and it's causing you to rejoice inside. But now think about this. Sometimes the Word of God shows you those patterns in your life and you don't want to give them up, so there's no rejoicing. We want to get rid of those patterns and replace God's word in our life so we can get those patterns out of our life. Because look what it says. It says in Lamentations 5:7, it says, our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. In other words, they died, but we still have those patterns in our life that they passed on to us. You break that by replacing it with the truth of the word of God. That's the love of God working. All right, now, this is the word iniquity. And the word iniquity is the Greek word adikos. It means injustice. It means lawlessness. It means something that is wrong. It means an inward bent towards destruction. So that's what those patterns do. They cause you to walk in injustice. They cause you to walk in lawlessness. The Bible says, Matthew 24:10, that because lawlessness and iniquity is abounding, the love of many is growing cold. You see, that's what happens. Those patterns are stronger in our life than the love of God. And they're increasing. And it's causing the love of God to grow cold in our life. But when we have the love of God working, we're destroying those patterns because we love His word. See? It talks about in 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps my word, that word keep, guard, shield, and protect. Whoever guards, shields, and protects my word, 1 John 2:5, truly the love of God is being perfected in them. Perfected means matured. It's maturing in them because we love His word. And when we love it and we get it, then it starts to get us to the place that God has taken us to. But you see, if we don't, then those patterns are ruling our life. Could be addiction. It could be an idol. It could be habits. But folks, listen to me. The love of God attacks those. That's why He says in Deuteronomy 30:19, He says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. When you make a choice to choose life, Jesus said, I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. When you choose Him and His way, then it gets passed on to your children and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. But it also changes you. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are life and they're spirit. When you choose His word over those patterns, it brings life and spirit in you. And that word life is the life of God, the Zoe life, the life God has called and created you for. So now, when I choose that, I'm walking in it. And now I'm starting to affect the people who are close to me with it. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. It says in James 1:21, it's the implanted word, the word that's in you, that's planted in you, that's not just in there and then something washes it away, but it's in there. It's the implanted word that saves your soul. It saves your soul. Remember the word save? Sozo, to be made whole from many scattered parts. That's the saving of your soul. When you get that word in there and you start to line your life up with it, it's saving your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now I have rest in my soul. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That brings rest to your soul. When you get that word and you bring it in, it saves your soul from all the negativity and all the stuff going on around you. Am I making sense? I know I'm preaching, but folks, listen to me. This is the love of God working. Now, in Jeremiah 11:10, he says, you always go back to the iniquities of your forefathers who refused to hear my words, and they serve idols. In other words, they're refusing to hear God's word, and they're holding on to those patterns, and now they have idols in their life. What's an idol? An idol can be your spouse. An idol can be your family. An idol can be money. An idol can be a car. An idol can be all kinds of things. Idols will turn around and kick your backside, kick you while you're down. That's why you got to make sure your affections are set on God and not something else other than God. My uncle had a 67 Chevelle Supersport. That's what he raced in a big raceway in Bristol, Tennessee. Well, he had a real big name down there. And I mean, he was like the stock car. He was like the big boy in the stock car, because he would get these cars right out of the showroom and go race them. But he would do little things to them to make sure it was all stock. And he won. I mean, I went to the races with him all the time, and I bring home trophies. My friends thought I had some famous uncle, you know, because I had all these trophies in my room from him. But he put everything he had into that racing. That's all he talked about. Whenever he went over to his house, that's all he was doing. General Motors gave him a brand new Chevelle Supersport, because he sent him a picture of all his trophies all over his car and all over. They gave him a brand new one. When his nephew turned 16, my uncle gave him the keys to that new Chevelle that they gave him. On his way home, on his birthday, he had his temps and he got his driver's license the day of his birthday. He gave him the key to that car, and on his way home, he got killed. I'm trying to show you something. I can say with confidence that was my uncle's idol, because that's all he talked about, and that's all he ever wanted to do. That's all he was doing. And I'm going to tell you something. He never raced after that. He went into a depression. It affected his entire life. Those idols will kick your butt. They will kick you while you're down. Folks, we got to understand that God is our affection. And when God is number one in our life, he's going to go to work. And he's helping you get to where what he's created you for. You see, those other things, they're going to destroy you. That's why it says in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But God has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. For this is the true God and eternal life. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep, guard, shield, and protect yourself from idols. Anything other than God being your total affection. That's the love of God right there. You see, when we get discouraged and we get the love of God can't flow through our life. I share this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Everybody get excited sometimes. I'm going to tell you what, there's a big place in there. It says according to the power that works in us. You see, if the love of God, if it's not through the love of God, there's no power working in us. It's in according to the power that works in us. And that's the love of God. See, if we're discouraged and we're dismayed, and it can't work in us. So these iniquities, we want to deal with them. We want to get them out of our life. Go with me quickly to 2 Thessalonians 2. And let's look at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one. Lawless one. Did you catch that? Remember, why is the love of God growing cold? Because lawlessness and iniquity is abounding. It's increasing. So this lawless one is actually the Antichrist. That's what he's talking about here. According to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the what? Come on, help me out. Love of what? Truth. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices what? In the truth. That's why it's so important that when we get the truth on the matter, it's worth rejoicing. And if you really love God, you're going to be excited about the truth. Now, look at this. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Saved is an ongoing. They could have gotten saved at the altar somewhere, but they're not being saved. The process, okay? Now, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Who? God will make sure you believe and get what you want. Whatever it is you're putting in front of him, God will make sure you get and get plenty of it. See, when we keep making decisions, well, what happened to the grace of God? The grace of God is dependent on, is the power of God. Well, what about the grace of God is always there. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He still loves you. You can't do anything to make God love you less. And you can't do anything to make God love you more. Because God is love. He's perfect love. It's the same always. Let's go on in this verse. I want you to see this. Verse 12. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the what? But had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning did what? Chose you for salvation. See, he made the choice. He chose to love you, right? In spite of all your ways and all you've done. He chooses to love you, no matter what you've done. He loves you. You see this? And this is powerful. Chose you for salvation through what? Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you heard the gospel, you responded and you stepped into the kingdom when you got born again. You heard it, you received it, and now the Holy Spirit's in you and he's working in you to try to get you to the truth. Now, in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them with your truth, for your word is truth. You see, we're to love that, and that sets us apart for God when we get the truth. We're set apart for God's work and his service now. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy 2:19. Remember, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions are sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. Remember, a bruise is a bleeding on the inside. So he bled on the inside. That's where those iniquities are. He bled on the inside to free us on the inside. And the blood, the Bible says that we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. It says we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. To be redeemed means to purchase a slave in view of its freedom. So that bleeding on the inside has come to free us on the inside. And when we get the truth on the matter and love it, it literally brings freedom in our life. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. The word stands means prevails. When you are on the foundation of God, you are going to prevail. You're going to prevail. You're going to win. It says that we're to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Now watch this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Now catch this. This word seal is the Greek word S-P-H-R-A-G-I-D-Z-O. This is the history behind this word. In New Testament times, seals were used to guarantee that the contents of a package were complete and not defective. Such a seal would only be placed on a package if the product had been thoroughly examined and inspected to make sure it was fully intact and complete. If it were broken, defective, or faulty, the quarantor would not put his seal upon it. The seal was proof that the product was impeccable. In biblical days, parcels bearing such seals were usually sent by extremely wealthy individuals. These seals, which bore the insignia of a particular wealthy or famous person, meant this package was to be treated with the utmost tender care. To seal such a package, the sender poured hot wax onto the flap of the envelope or the string of the bound box. Afterward, he pressed his insignia in the wax, leaving a visible distinctive mark. This insignia alerted everyone that the package was the possession of a wealthy or powerful person. Therefore, the seal guaranteed the package would make it to its final destination. Now listen, because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, this means there is nothing incomplete or defective about you. When you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, God checked you out by thoroughly examining and inspecting you before placing his final seal of approval on your heart. In Ephesians 1:13, it says this, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." When God sealed you with the Holy Spirit, it meant that you are God approved. Your contents are intact and in order. You should never again see yourself as damaged goods. You are not damaged. You are approved, endorsed, recognized, affirmed, sanctified, and notarized by the Spirit of God. This seal is also the guarantee that you're going to make it to your final destination. God is the one who has made the inspection, and you being sealed means his guarantee on you will ensure that you are delivered to his ordained destination for your life. That's why you should never say or complain, "I'm not going to make it." Of course you're going to make it, because God is going to see to it that you make it. Because you are sealed. That's why there's such a struggle at sometimes. Because God has put his seal on you. He's going to make it get, he's going to help it to get there. Not just to heaven. He wants you to get to your destination here now. We have a destiny now. And folks, it's these patterns that we resort to that are keeping us. They're slowing the delivery down. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word depart is a farmer's term and was a sailor's term. And so whenever they would say it's time to depart, they would take up their anchor and they would set sail. Now when you set sail, you have to have a sail and some wind. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. When you deal with those iniquities, you depart from them. It's like you're taking up what was holding you down, and now the Holy Spirit is moving you in the direction to your destination. He's moving you to your destination because you chose his word over that pattern. That's what the Holy Spirit is up to right now. When we see this and we understand this, it changes everything. It changes everything.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.